Colonel Boyce, guests, faculty, staff, students, and especially the new students. I want to welcome each and every one of you for this year, this coming year. I know we'll have a very successful year ahead of us. All of us at Cal Poly believe our one and only purpose for being here is to help and work with students. Cal Poly exists for students. We want all of you to succeed in every way as students. I personally will try to know as many of you as I can, and will meet with you as often as I can. I'll try to attend as many functions as I can. But please remember that we have three campuses, and between here and Pomona, it's about 235 miles. Each year, we have a little problem with regard to the baseball games, and each year, we try to avoid them. I'm glad this year we avoided them, since there will not be a runoff on a tie for either the National League or the American League teams. But some of you people remember that we conflicted some of our convocations with the games, and we had to give scores throughout the entire convocation, and of course, some people had their radios in their pockets, and there was some disturbance, but we hope there won't be anything like that today. When I was an undergraduate student attending the University of California many, 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 many years ago, the then President Wheeler would always start his convocations with the question, why are we here? I don't remember whether he really told us why we're here or not, but I always remember that question. I'd like to ask our students here this question, why are you here? But before discussing that question, I want to tell you how extremely proud I am of all of you. You're among the best students of the state. You're among the top 40% of the high school graduates throughout the state. And this is according to the Donahue Act. It'll be a little higher, it'll be the top one-third by 1965. On our entrance examinations, which are similar for all the state colleges, the Cal Poly freshman scores for the past 3 years have seen undergraduates on two of our campuses in the top five of our entire state college system of 17 colleges. We know you chose Cal Poly because of a particular interest in an occupational field. You know something about what you want. This is more than can be said about many, many students and many of the other colleges and universities throughout this state and other states. You're a friendly group. Your pre-registration and core curricular programs on the campus prove this. And I was exceedingly pleased with meeting of the freshmen during the week before school opened at many of their meetings and conferences up at the camps and over in the cafeteria. It showed a great, great friendliness just to keep up the Cal Poly reputation. Cal Poly students have always been known to have great spirit, enthusiasm, loyalty, as well as this outstanding friendliness. This is a pretty impressive list of accomplishments and abilities, and it indicates why we are so proud of you. This means, however, that you've got a great deal to live up to, and you are going to have to work extra hard to maintain this type of reputation for Cal Poly. Now, why are you here? You are here, I believe, because you like Cal Poly's approach to higher education. Most of you came here because someone told you about our practical and applied type of education, told about our occupational objectives, about our direct contact as freshmen you have to your major field of occupational interest, about our learning by doing methods of instruction, because we have a close student-teacher relationship. And don't forget our reputation for friendliness. I'm sure some of you are here because of the beauty of the campus, others because of convenience to your home, or because your parents wanted you to come, or maybe to meet some other young men and women of your same age. But you're really here to do all you can to become better citizens and to become more competent in some occupation in order to earn a good living. We will do all we can to help you learn to live as good citizens and how to make a living through our occupational program. I hope that all of you will like Cal Poly and will become staunch supporters of our type of education. Now, these convocations have been traditional ever since I came to Cal Poly in 1933. Their main purpose is for me to talk to all of you as students. It's not to try to give an entertaining oration. I have missed no more than one or two of these convocations in my 31 years. We like to have every student and staff member in attendance so we can all get acquainted. I like to talk about us, students in the college. There is seldom another time in the year we can all get together on either campus for other than these convocations. I believe they encourage friendliness and give all of us a chance to see who is a part of our total program. Now, for years, I've outlined to the students a list of our basic objectives. And of course, they first include the causes leading to dismissal and suspension and probation. But these causes are now listed on page 30 of our catalog, and they're also listed in various publications and letters. So I'm not going to say very much about those today, and I haven't in the past two or three convocations. I've always encouraged the freshmen to stick it out for a few weeks should they get homesick. By the time they are here a few weeks, I hope the reverse will take place. You'll get homesick if you leave Cal Poly and go home and stay away from here for a while. This has actually happened during the war when I got concerned. A lot of our students, of course, went into the war and were gone for two or three years. And many of them came back here instead of going home, and I had calls from their mothers and fathers asking me to send them home. I don't like to have that happen entirely that bad, but that way. But we do appreciate and do feel proud that they do consider Cal Poly a home and get to feel it that way. Now, there are a few students who seem to stay around 7 or 8 or 9 years or more before graduating. And I'm sure it's because they like us that well and because they stay. I've always told the freshmen not to fret too much about the girlfriend or the boyfriend left at home. I think we've got some good possibilities around here if you look around. And of course, if you can't trust them, don't worry about them anyhow. And I always like to have each of our students and faculty and all to keep that smile on your face and to say hello when you have the chance, because that's what gives Cal Poly the spirit and reputation we have. Now, of course, I talk to alumni quite often. I visit them around the state, and I see them no matter where I go. And some of them, after they've left Cal Poly, have told me that they could repeat my convocation because they've heard it as freshmen and sophomores and juniors and seniors. And evidently, the rules impressed them more than anything else, because I don't remember at any time that I had the same convocation year after year, but they certainly remembered the rules. I was pretty pleased about it, however. Now, in regard to these rules, we've spent a lot of time over the years in working them out. We've had most of them for the last 30 years, and they're set up for the good of the college and for the protection of the students. Now, I want you to know, and I said it last year, that if there are any rules that are unfair and not good for the college or not good for our orderly processes, there's a means to get them changed through your Student Affairs Council and through your student body. Now, one of the rules you had a year ago, I made that statement, and one of the rules was changed. It was given concern. But up till last year, we had never been asked for any change in the rules. But remember, however, that regardless of the rule, please don't expect immunity if it's broken. Now, since I came to Cal Poly, which of course was just a very, very long time ago, in 1933, we had at that time only one campus. We had 125 students. We had 26 staff members. That included faculty and all the rest of the staff. And we had a total budget to run this campus of $75,000 a year. Since that time, in 1964, we now have three campuses. The one at Pomona, called the Kellogg Unit, that's given to us by the Kellogg Foundation. We have the one at the Voorhees Unit at San Dimas, given to us by the C.B. Voorhees family. We have this campus here at San Luis Obispo. And last week, the total number of students for the two campuses — we haven't regular students on our Voorhees campus, we use that for an educational center — but we have a total of 11,422 students at Cal Poly at the present time. We have a total of 1,500 staff members. That includes faculty and regular state staff, and also our cafeterias and dormitories. We have spent this past year, and our budget for this year is over $11 million for the three campuses. And I'm very proud to say, and we're very happy to say, that in the last 20 years, we've built over $100 million in new buildings for our campuses, not only this campus, but our campus at Kellogg's. Now, our enrollment broken down, as I say, was 11,422 total. But on this campus, we have 5,256 men and 1,706 women, or a total of 6,962 students. I look around these girls, I could say that there's a ratio there, 3-1. At our Kellogg campus, we have 3,495 men and 965 women, or 4,460 students. Our program isn't limited, of course, to these three campuses. We have a program going over in Lusaka, in northern Rhodesia, at the present time. They're asking to expand that program, not only in northern Rhodesia, but they're going also asking for expansion in that new country over there that was formerly Nyasaland. Two of our people, Dean Hayes and Assistant Dean of Agriculture, Cordner Gibson, are leaving this coming Saturday, and they're going over to Tanganyika, where in Dar es Salaam, a technical school over on the east coast of Africa, for the idea of recommending to them a program in which Cal Poly can be of assistance. And then for me, Mr. Gibson's going on to Nyasaland and Lusaka to work with them on an expansion of the program at Northern Rhodesia. We had a team a year ago go down into Argentina to study the possibilities of putting on a program for Cal Poly in 13 different agricultural schools and one home economics school. The report was made, was accepted by Washington, but due to some governmental difficulties down there, which they expect to be overcome, we expect a program down there before long. We've also had people from Ghana come over here and ask us to help them in some special programs, and also over in Alexandria near Cairo, Egypt. So our program is going to expand in that direction very materially in the next few years. And I hope it's along agriculture and engineering and home economics and the areas in which we're especially proficient, so we not only can use our faculties but our graduates to help out with those programs in those foreign countries. This last year we had a program down in Vandenberg. We're expanding a program in this unemployment program of the national government. And of course our big program on special services is at Ivory's campus at San Dimas. There we have research, we have work in workshops and conferences and programs of that kind continuously throughout the whole year. Now keep in mind that Cal Poly was established as a polytechnic college to especially emphasize programs in agriculture, engineering, business, home economics, and related curricula in mathematics and biological and physical sciences. This is set up in the legislature by a legislative act. In other words, Cal Poly was established primarily to train young men and women for specific occupations. We believe in the motivation of our students through our learning by doing process, and that's why we have so many shops and laboratories and so much land on all of our campuses. Our earning while learning program, and we believe in starting our students out in their major occupational instruction program in their first year. Now, some people call that upside down, but it's not a very good name, but it's a gimmick some people use. But nevertheless, we've been identified that way because we start our program in that manner. We are primarily an undergraduate college, even though we do have a few graduate programs, and we'll probably have some more in the next two or three years. We believe in a real close student-teacher relationship. Our teachers have a very definite interest in each individual student. And then you can't say that for many, many other colleges and universities. Our instructors are among other qualifications, were selected for their competency in their respective occupational fields. Now, in contrast, most other four-year colleges in the state stress the liberal arts type of education. But the Cal Poly plan adds the know-how to the know-why. I've often heard it said that nowadays, to get a job, you have to know how to do something or to know somebody. But our basic purpose is to train people to do something and not depend upon knowing somebody to get their job. Even though we stress how to make a living through our occupational objectives and philosophy, we also stress how to live through the citizenship training program of Cal Poly. That is why we're interested in co-curricular activities, our student body activities, so many clubs. They're all geared closely to our instructional program. You will notice, keeping in mind that over half of our graduation requirements are in the non-occupational fields, in English, in social sciences, in music, art, and other general education programs. We give more than most colleges who specialize in fields of occupational competency, more general education than they do. But we believe that even though we strive for occupational competence in our students, we must also strive to make them the best citizens possible. Now, what is a good citizen? Is it enough for a person to salute the flag and vote at most of the elections and pay his taxes in order to be a good citizen? I don't think so. Neither democracy nor effective representation is possible until each participant in the group, and this is true in a college or a household or a nation, devotes a measurable part of his life to furthering its existence. This means that as citizens, we must be concerned with the social and economic welfare of our state and nation. We must strive as individuals to make our community, state, and nation a better place to live. We must establish for ourselves a standard of conduct. By this I mean that as individuals, we should be productive members of our society and contribute to, rather than take from our society, which is so common today, people on social welfare and unemployment relief, rather than working and contributing. We must share and do our share of what we're supposed to do, not just let George do it or pass the buck. We find that in a lot of our clubs where the officers do all the work and do all the thinking and do all the worrying. But participate, get in and mix in and do your share. We must not depend entirely upon our government to support us or to our unions. Some people have that idea today. We must learn to look after ourselves. And we must feel that the world doesn't owe us a living. Now, in regard to our conduct, we should set up standards that are ethical and righteous and virtuous, the kind we should expect from a lady or a gentleman or any good citizen. We take for granted that when a student registers at Cal Poly, that he comes here with high principles of integrity and honesty and patriotism and a firm belief in the golden rule. I don't think you'd be here if you didn't believe in all that or you didn't have that training before you came here. We believe that our men students should have a high and do have a high regard for womanhood. We also believe that they have respect for all legally constituted authority, and also that they cannot disrespect the laws or we will not survive. They believe that if we don't watch that and keep ourselves orderly, we cannot survive. We as students must realize and know that you are people who are soon to take over the big things of life. You are to take and run this country, you are to run the colleges, you are to run your communities. And the things that you're doing now and learning now will help you with that responsibility. Now, regardless of these high ideals and excellent qualifications, there is an extra big challenge for you in the years ahead. There's a definite trend away from the ideals that made us a great nation. We see it in the papers, the increasing amount of dishonesty in business and in government, the increasing amount of immorality tolerated by our various publics, the disrespect we allow some of our people have for private property and for our basic laws. And I recently read an article by a May Craig, this article was in many, many newspapers and magazines, in which she sums up so well some of the things I'm referring to. And she says that unless there is a change deep down in American people, a genuine crusade against self-indulgence, immorality, both public and private, then we are witnesses to the decline and fall of the American Republic. That's happened before. It happened in other nations. Death on the highways, a pack a day, cheating from top to bottom in our society, get rich quick, breakup of the family, faltering in our foreign policy, reckless debt. These have destroyed nations before us. Why should we think we can take that path and change history? She said there's no financial morality in our government, as they believe in charging everything. borrowing for the future. And this is the accepted practice. Well, May Craig, after many examples of the problems she is talking about, ends her article this way. She said, "We are losing the respect of the world, and respect is more necessary to a nation or to a person than affection. We get little affection from the people we have helped over the years, and we are losing that respect. Nobody respects a fumbler, a weak man, a wobbler, in policy or in deeds. First, every one of us has to clean out weakness and selfishness and immorality of all types, and then choose good leaders who, with strength and intelligence and principle, will lead us to where we can have self-respect and respect of others." Now, I have dwelt on this subject to remind us that training for good citizenship has always been Cal Poly's first and most important objective. We've tried to do a good and conscientious job and hope to continue it along these lines. The success of our graduates and the splendid attitude of nearly all of our students is the best evidence of what we are doing in this area. I might say that I talk to lots of employers, and I go around and see them quite often. In fact, I make special scheduled trips to do so. And almost without exception, they say, "How do you train your students to be so wonderful, to be so fine, to be so thoughtful, to be so resourceful, to be such good citizens?" And I think it's because the things I'm telling you to hear today and the things I'm reminding you of, that you've got to be good citizens and be kind to others and have the spirit and enthusiasm what you should do. So keep up the good work. Now, you can do your part by keeping these things in mind and by training yourselves for real leadership. First, while in college, and then while you're doing your life's work. But this will require several things. It'll require a lot of drive on your part. It'll take a lot of initiative. It'll take a lot of imagination. Just don't sit there and dawdle. You've got to think and plan and imagine. And also, another important point that should keep in mind, learn to be good leaders as well as to follow good leadership. And of course, a thing that's lacking in so many people is a use of common sense. And that's hard to define, but you know what common sense is. But the thing I want to stress more than anything else, however, is learn to communicate, both in writing and orally. And in these trips I made around the state to visit these employers, when I would ask suggestions of what we could emphasize and re-emphasize to our students besides their occupational training, almost without exception, is to train these people to write out reports properly, to speak properly, and get their word across properly. And that's one of the most important things you can get while at Cal Poly. Now, before concluding, I want to tell you that Cal Poly strives to have the very best teachers that we possibly can in our teaching. Each year, we are giving special awards to the outstanding teachers on each campus. A week or so ago, I had the pleasure of presenting awards to four of our Cal Poly outstanding teachers who were selected by a special committee of the faculty after nominations were received from faculty, students, and alumni. And at our San Luis Obispo campus, Robert Holmquist in our physical science department and John Merriam in our agricultural engineering department received these awards. And at our Kellogg campus, Quinn Connard of the agricultural engineering department and George Galbraith of the social science department received these awards. I would like to recognize them again and publicly compliment them for doing an outstanding job and for this recognition which has been given them by their colleagues. Now, in summary, I would like to remind you of several special items. First, that the rules we expect in any good society are the rules we want followed on this campus. Second, there'll be no problems as long as you live and act as good citizens and are mindful of others. By this I mean to live and work well with others and respect others' property. One thing I must emphasize, we will tolerate no possession or the drinking of alcoholic beverages on the campus. Some people learned that the last year and the year before. One thing that gives me great concern is the number of accidents to our students. From our other campus, in 1 week this summer, three of our students were killed. Just in 1 week, one girl and two boy students. We have them six or seven or eight every year from this campus. We've had them killed on our own campus here over the years. So please be careful. There's one thing I dislike to do, but I do, is to write. It's hard for me to write to parents and tell them the sadness of the death of their own child through an accident. So please be careful. Now, I'm familiar and sympathetic with many of your problems. With 11,500 students, it is difficult for me to personally get acquainted with too many of you. But I want you to know that we're here for you. Our faculty and staff are here. These buildings are here for you. And we are interested in you individually. We do all we can to make you successful as students and as citizens and in your occupations. I might also say I think we're making great headway on this campus for a college union. As you remember, over the years, we have saved over $500,000 from our student stores and other activities on the campus that we have for a start in for our student union, our college union. Last year, in June, the students voted 91% in favor of assessing themselves when the student union is finished and occupied for a certain amount to help pay it off. Right now, we have a selection of architects that we asked the AIA to present to us, from whom we'll select a certain number of architects to pick the final architect who will have to get the approval of the Chancellor's Office to start in on the work. We've had this work going for several years. We have had an architect, and we're pretty well along with what we call our B2s. That's telling you what, how many rooms and where the rooms will be and the costs and so forth. We also have applications through the Chancellor's Office in from borrowing money from the federal government to build it. And also, we've had several financial concerns very much interested in supplying us with the money. I don't make any promises because when I made them in the past, they haven't always come out as I promised. I remember the first swimming pool we had, I promised for 4 years before we finally got them, and it got to be quite a joke. I hope, however, that this is one of the big things I have before I retire will have this student union finished. And that's not too long from now. So we hope to get underway after the first of the year as soon as possible. And I'll keep pushing and trying to get our obstacles. Now, let me close by urging you to keep in mind two important things. The first is perseverance, and the other is a proper use of your time. No one can be successful in college unless he practices perseverance. Stick it out. Rome wasn't made in a day, wasn't built in a day. You keep sticking to what you're doing, sticking out the year and sticking out the second year, you won't be one of these people that's going to take you 8 or 9 years to graduate. If you take perseverance in studying that problem or that lesson, you'll win out. There are times you get discouraged, but this is the time to work harder and not to give up. And of course, the biggest reason for failures that I see is that a lot of us don't budget our time. We don't set up our schedule of timing, time for studying, time to have our recreation, time for pleasure, time for other things, particularly your student body offices and those active. You can be successful, but you've got to budget your time. Everyone has to budget their time and make out your plan ahead of time. So if you keep that in balance, I'm sure every one of you will be successful. I know that you will be successful. As an individual with the great wisdom once said, education may cost financial sacrifice and mental pain, but in both money and life values, it will repay every cost 100-fold. And best wishes for a very, very successful and happy year.